Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get some, get sweaty with Teddy to the coup de grace couch hour we go. In beautiful downtown San Francisco, baby, Fridays are pain free.
Oh man, I had the greatest time in the world when I hung out with Sweet Ted, man. I got to finally, you know, I used to hang out with the Whack Masters, his world tour bow hunters and animal thrasher group. He goes out and he's an expert marksman and all that stuff, and he's just radical and crazy. But I got to hang out with him for about an hour one night and did a photo op with him. I got some great ones. You guys will die when you see the shots I got with Sweet Teddy. Incredible. I got a great article. You know, just because baseball is over doesn't mean that Baseball Weekly stops kicking out the print. They had a big thing in their issue this week about the 61 ways the season was ruined. And I don't want to get into all that stuff, the deep 11 through 61 numbers. But the top 10 were fairly interesting. Obviously, the chase for Maris's home run record, Matt Williams with 43. Too bad, of course. Ken Griffey had 40. He was on a pace for 58. Bagwell had 39. Thomas, 38. Bonds had 37. Bell had 36. There's never been a season when more than two players hit 50. Griffey, in particular, captured the country's imagination with his big tear in the beginning of the year, of course. 40th homer, grand slam, and a leaping catch at a wall on a final day of playback on August 11th. Number two, the pennant races. You know, there were six divisions hot along with two wild card chases. A total of 16 teams were within 6.5 of first place. The Indians' story was tough, trying to get in for the first time since 54, the longest drought of any team in the majors. They talk about a lot of things that happened since 54. Rocky Marciano still the champ. Jackie Robinson still playing at Ebbets. Ellis Island was still processing immigrants. Samuel J. Seymour, the eyewitness to the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, was still kicking. Mailing a letter was 3 cents. And of the players on the 94 roster, only Dave Winfield was even born. It's been that long. Tony Gwynn completing his run at becoming the first 400 hitter since Williams in 41. The Yankees' classy Don Mattingly, too bad, but at least he's got a great restaurant in Evansville with a purple aces hanging out. He deserves postseason. Hopefully he'll get there. Of course, Steinbrenner still wants that Expos-Yanks game to go down, the World Series-type thing, and I don't think they're going to be able to pull that off. Julio Franco surpassed career highs in home runs, RBIs. He was batting behind Frank Thomas. He's never played in the postseason. The Rangers, first place on August 12th, they would have won the AL West with a losing record. They were like 9,000 games under 500. The memories, of course, dramatic and thrilling moments. Tony Gwynn's game-ending slide into home plate of the All-Star game. No-hitters, Merker against the Dodgers. Erickson, Kenny Rogers' perfect game. Unbelievable. Maddox's third straight shy. He was a full run better than anybody else in the ERA title as well. God, nobody's ever done that, finished with a... he would have been the second pitcher in the history of the game to win the title by more than a run. But, of course, the asterisk goes there. And then the chase for the Triple Crown. Frank Thomas and Albert Bell each had a chance to become the first crown winner since Yaz in 67. So there you go. We're doing it. Kathy's been on hold so long, she's gotten 3 divorces.
No.
What's up?
Pharrell, you're the man.
I got to be the man when you get a one.
Dude, listen, what do you think about Nebraska this year?
You know, when I look at that football team, I mean, I'm talking about, like, July. I'm thinking about the size of their line and the experience of the kids coming back. And I knew they were the number one team in the land. I don't ever buy that Florida shtick and the Michigan shtick. They're coming off a big win against UCLA. They pounded them into the ground with their powerful line. They've won 16 consecutive regular season games, longest in the nation. They average close to 500 yards on the ground. They racked up 484 against the Bruins. When they rush for 300 or more, you know he's 134-5-0. I mean, it's just incredible. If they do that in games with Osborne, they never lose. 56 in a row when they go 300 or more. It's unbelievable. I think they're going to plow through them. 73-6, the final.
What do you think, all the way for them?
Yeah, I do. I think they're the best. And I finally hope that they figure out a way to let the Huskers play for a national title in someplace other than, you know, Coral Gables or the Orange Bowl or wherever. I mean, they're constantly going into a situation almost no win. And it's... You know, it's too bad. Tom Osborne, you know, if they're going to just hand out national titles like they did to Bowden last year, just give it to the guy because he's tried so long and never got it, and I didn't think they deserved it at all. I know they were a fabulous team. I saw them play five times. They were stat. They were great, but they got their asses beat in South Bend, up and down. But, I mean, they were using the Sisters from St. Mary's in the third and fourth quarter when they came back. That was ugly. Notre Dame, you know, everybody, Auburn, you know, obviously with their sanctions and everything, but I think Nebraska deserves a title for what... they did. I thought they won that game. I thought the officials screwed the whole thing up. It was a game where I could definitely look back and say they got robbed with several big bad calls. And, you know, I think they're taking it out on college football this year. They're pounding everybody, and they're going to keep pounding. Their toughest game in Norman against the Sooners, I think they'll still be able to handle the Buffaloes in Lincoln.
Well, every year, but what do you think about their easy schedule, and what do you think about Colorado?
I don't think their schedule's that easy at all. I think they've played some legitimate road games. They started the season in East Rutherford in front of 76,000. The following couple of weeks, they go on a Thursday night game. I think it was against the Red Raiders. They've played some games. They got some tough games. They got to go to Norman. They got the Buffaloes in Lincoln. They played UCLA. That's not a cake schedule. Anybody that says it is doesn't know what they're talking about. Those are big games. If you play four or five big games like that, whether it's home or road, don't fly with that in my face. I think they've played a legit. They're definitely the best team in the country, I think. Penn State's right behind them. But Penn State's beatable. One day, when everybody expects them to come out and score their 55 points and Kajana Carter, someone will shut them down. Who's it going to be? I don't know. I think they can dance with Michigan and Ann Arbor. I think they can beat Wisconsin and Madison.
Dude, you're beautiful. How about a picture?
You know, they took a million pictures of me the other day, and they hit them. I haven't seen one of them. I don't know anything. Like I said, I'm only allowed in the building 9:45 to 1:30.
Can we call back later and get one?
I'm sure they have slews of them. They'll be doling them out at will here as soon as they say, you know, they see fit. They've treated me fabulous, man. They did all that stuff. Photo ops, press releases, massive coverage, promotion. They're just top of the line, man. Isabel Lemon, a legend. No doubt about it. Eddie in Eureka, you're on a bench.
Hey.
What's up, Ed?
Hey, you ever go bow hunting?
No, you know, I haven't. I have gone, and I'm not a big fan at all of you know, really, to be honest with you, of thrashing animals. Not a big fan of it. But I have gone duck hunting, and I got a kick out of that. But I'm not a fan of watching helpless animals get thrashed by some guy with a gun or a bow. I'm not into that.
Nugent, he's a class act, and he harpoons them.
He's an incredible, gifted bowsman and a hunter. And the guy is one of the coolest dudes I've ever met in my life. But, you know, I appreciate the sport. I appreciate it. I don't dig poachers. I think they're jerks.
No, when you respect an animal, I mean.
I respect them, too, and I love fishing. I've deep-seed a million times. I love to fish. I'm not a good fisherman at all, but I'm a hell of a beer drinker on a boat.
Oh, heck. Hey, what do you think? The old sounds they lump. I want to go small time on you. All right, do you know anything about Southwestern?
Well, very little about Southwestern Louisiana.
You're a Southern boy.
Yeah, well, I'm not a Southern boy at all. You know, that was my first taste of the Southeast and the SEC and ACC and never really got into it because I booked back to the West. I was just starting to get into that massive mecca for college football. I think the SEC is the best conference in football, and the Big Ten's right with them right now at this time in this year. But, you know, I live down in Florida, too.
You got no insight on them?
I have no insight. Most of,
I know that they have a running game, but, you know.
Well, the Bay, you know, from the Bay back to the Cajun country and the Bayou, I know a little bit more about the situation with Northeast coming in and getting the big games and getting into the Division I situation. But as far as most of the Bayou, just like anybody else, who gives a damn?
Scotty, let me recommend one time, go down to San Jose and watch a game. You know, it's really intimate, you know. When they get, you know, they get defeated, but it's always with grace, and San Jose always puts up a darn good fight.
And John Schrader does a play-by-play. I'm going to go there one day probably with him and watch him do that.
Go check it out. You know,
he's going to be doing...
It's not a SEC or a Big 8 or a Big 10,
right.
But hey, they kick some butt.
He's going to be...
They always play with heart. They always do, and you know what? The boosters down there, my dad, he invited me and all this good stuff.
Well, that sounds wonderful, and I hope that it's a good game, but I'll miss that one tomorrow. I can't see seeing San Jose State at Southwest Louisiana, but go to Paul
and
San Fran. What?
He's acting up.
Ah, get that damn dog out there. Get him a... Here, have some beef. Take some of that, you and yours. Get some manners. Saliva drooling. Get that dog out of my yard. Look at
Hey, you're reading out of the newspaper. More than two people have hit 50 home runs in a season.
If who?
That's Manolin Maris, my friend.
Yeah, well, the bottom line is, I was reading those top tens out of
That's
the...
That's right. The bottom line is, you're reading out of the thing. Come on, let's share that knowledge, my friend. I know you're smarter than that.
If you want to diss me, then go ahead, dude. You got anything else you want to tell me? You want to inform me? I gave that because I thought it was a great article. They gave 61 reasons why baseball was crushed. And if you don't like it, have a miserable weekend. Sunnyvale, Ryan. I give people lots of, you know, without great quality newspapers around the country and great writers and great sports coverage on TV, radio, and newspapers and magazines, where the hell would you be? You'd be sitting in mud. And without the skinny and giving you great reading and great quality writers and some of the great articles that I've spit out on the air and opinions and voices and reaction, it all works, man. Believe me, trust me. There is nothing, as far as I'm concerned, better than... reading tons of great writing and awesome skinny. I mean, God Almighty, if you didn't have all that stuff and all of the coverage and everything you get on sports nowadays, none of these guys would even be in this business. There would be no talk radio. There would be no coverage of teams. There would be no fans. You mean to tell me that you're bogus, that dude, on like the Sunday skinny and the sports and all the coverage of teams and all the inside stats and box scores? I mean, what the hell's his problem, man? Have a sandwich, bro. Ryan, are you still slicking out?
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, bro?
I got two quick questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay, tomorrow, Oregon, Iowa, Oregon's a pick-em. Will they beat Iowa?
I think it's one of those games that I think they should just cancel.
Yeah.
Who cares? I understand if you care. What are you, a Hawkeye fan?
No, I just thought, you know.
No, that's the worst game in the world to even look at. I mean, how would you even assess any kind of a trend? They probably haven't played in 80 years. There is no series here. There is no matchup. I think, obviously, they're playing a game at Oregon or in?
At Oregon.
Well, you know, Iowa will probably go up there and lose.
Yeah. And I got a question about the Steelers. I'm a big Steelers fan.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to run away with that division or what?
They're not going to run away with it. I think they're going to battle the Browns for that thing. I think the Steelers should take it, though, by a game.
They're scaring me because they're spotting these teams. I mean, 2 weeks ago they spot Cleveland 10, and they spot the Colts 14 points. They can't be doing
that. Well, with Seals out with a broken thumb, you got a young kid in Henry coming in on the side. They're going to run his way. The Seahawks are going to try to establish, and Warren's a little banged up.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is the Seahawks secondary with, Orlando Waters filling in for Hunter after he ripped it. Chasing Martin in the big pass, the 99-yarder. I mean, I think that O'Donnell's got to go straight there and as many times as he can till it works.
Okay, sure. So Wisconsin's a good bet, huh?
I think huge. I wouldn't be surprised at all if late night tonight Doc comes out with that Big Ten lock in Vegas as the easy take. He's hit it like 22 straight years.
Well, I just want to say I'm glad you're here, and I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, buddy.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to the jig.
Pharrell, getting ballistic, baby.
What's going on, Jig?
Nothing. I need the skinny, man. The Rangers this year. Will they repeat?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that feel that if you look at the Rangers, they're still the best team in hockey. There's some people saying, you know, okay, we feel that it's the Devils, Pens, and Rangers as the three stacks. You look at what they've got coming back. I mean, some of the most talented players in the game, and with experience, too. I mean, I'm talking about years. I'm talking about cups. I'm talking about playoff experience. Guys like Anderson, Adam Graves, Joe Koser gives him the role. He's out six with a shoulder, though. They got Kovalev.
What about Messier? Will he be there, though?
Yeah, he'll be there guaranteed. They're not going to trade him. The city would burn down. Kiprios. Steve Larmer gives him a great right winger and speed and scoring. Stefan Matteau with a double overtime goal. The Hawks wish they never got rid of Larmer or Matteau. Big mistake. Now they get Peter Nedved in the deal. You got to love Nedved. He's going to give them tons. And with the bottom line is with Richter in the pipe, there's no doubt that the Rangers should be able to make it back to the four, the final four of the Stanley Cup. But they're clearly, you know, I think a couple of the sleeper teams, as I, you know, look up and down and everybody's predicting everything. And last year I was fortunate enough to be able to snag the Devils and Canucks all the way down. That would have been a sweet future at about 4K. But I lost out on it, obviously, with the double overtime Matteau goal. But I think a lot of people are picking the Red Wings, the Rangers, the Devils, the Pens, and going like that up and down.
All right, my man.
Tiburon, Leprechaun, you're the ball carrier.
Hey.
What's up, you player?
Riding the mahogany, dancing with the Pharrell.
We got it going on.
First of all, that caller a few two ways back, he didn't know what he was doing.
The bottom line is that it's simple. I mean, you know, I live for people to slam me and throw the skinny back in my face. I love people that inform me. I like when they voice reaction, vent their spleen and everything. But let's be realistic, man. You know, if you look at the situation, the fact of the matter is it was a great article, it was a great story, and what they did was they dissected why baseball got ruined. And the 10 thick reasons that I gave and all the memories that came out of those 10 reasons and all of the facts and the Indians, all the way down to the Maddox, all the way down to the Franco, all the way down to the Triple Crown Chasers, all the way down to Mattingly, all the way down to Tony Gwynn chasing the 400, all the way down to the teams that were at least in six divisions, 16 teams within six and a half. It brought back baseball in a sense of saying, hey, look what we really did here. We ruined a fabulous baseball season because of tug of war at a bargaining table and greed on both ends. I do not favor either side. I think both sides screwed up big time.
Right, that guy was probably trying to pull money out of a parking meter, not an agent.
Well, you know, it's just a guy, you know, obviously is a dude that just can't get enough, I guess, of sports on the TV, because if you don't read, you're worthless as far as I'm concerned. If you're not reading and studying and learning, and I love and appreciate writing and guys like Murray. I enjoyed some of the stuff I've read in this town. I think Lowell Cohn's a good writer. I can't wait to read more and more of it. I read, like I said, papers from all over the country, and there's guys even in Pittsburgh, Smizek, Collier, guys in Boston that are great. You know, Bob Ryan. I mean, come on. Wake up and smell the coffee, man. This is about, you know, it's what it's all about. It's about, there's nothing like a Sunday paper, man.
Hey, those T-shirts you were talking about the other night, the ones that were locked up in your house, that house, it's like, what, it's flying over Haiti or something, about to be dropped on there, casting a shadow over the nation.
Absolutely.
Can we get any of those out here?
I got them here. They're in San Fran. The bottom line is that I'm going to go over probably within a week or two back over to the warehouse where I'm storing all of my things, and I told the dude to get my golf clubs out and try to find the shirts.
Right.
They're in a big box. There's probably five dozen left.
Well, I want one.
The shirt, the second line, I mean, my first line out of Vegas, my first apparel line, the Pharrell on a Bench, shirt number one was massive. I probably got rid of 3,000 of them nationwide, and now I've come out with Pharrell number two, which is my new apparel, which is the second coming, straight from, you know, as the show grew and got bigger and bigger, now it's further down the line and where we are to this day, and it really is a fabulous-looking shirt, and it's really cool, and, you know, bottom line is I don't get involved in anything that's not kick-ass, and the dude that did them did a great job, and I think they're rocking, and I know that I could probably dump them in one day.
Okay, sign me up for one.
I got you covered, Johnny. Oh, you gotta love it. We're turning the corner. Headed toward that 1 o'clock rush hour.
with a replays on your face. It's a weekend, pain day coming up. College gridiron gurus, get ready for a Saturday of fast head smacking. 12:30 turning it. It is Saturday, Sausalito. Let's get some of that San Antonio Saint salsa dripping Tabasco style on the Indian town. Don't forget, fast forward Pharrell in your face coming up at 10 till the top of the hour when everybody gets thick, including DC. Up to the challenge, San Francisco. We got 30 left in the coup de grace couch hour with a backcracker. Look at where do you hurt? Bring it. Pain and punishment. Pressure's coming from all angles. We're up in the clouds doing it. As I said on a pain-free Friday, doling out minutes to the fans and make it all possible. I love you, San Fran. Come on with me now. Remember, fast forward. 10 till the hour, we rip it. We're thereabouts. One sentence, one statement, one spleen vent, one commitment, one reflection, one thought. Get it out, let it out. And put it on the mahogany and we'll put her to rest. And get ready for a weekend of smash mouth and a pile of dust and a lot of pain and a lot of broken limbs. Snap, crackle, pop with a fibula. And the interior cruciate. DC Cab running the world behind the glass with George Brett. He's roiding out with pine tar. You got to love him. He's got covered on the hook. We got another taste of all the locks of the week coming up with Pro College. In case you missed them, make that call before they booted off the short tee in the morning. Johnny Walnut Creek, where do you hurt?
Dude. In the city by the bay, Pharrell lighting up the airways. How does it feel to be living in the home of the world champion San Francisco 49ers, baby?
God, I almost feel like deja vu, like I'm in Pittsburgh or something. When I walk in their front office, I see four of them. It's like flashbacks. No, I love it, man. I'm so amped to be here. I've told people, and I mean it. I mean, I feel, and it sounds silly, I guess, but I feel like completely cranked and revved up in my love for this job. I mean, my passion for doing sports talk goes back a long time. I live for it. I love doing it. I rage. I try to do it different. I definitely am crazy and fast and rocking, and we do go inside the skinny and in-depth, and we get nothing but crazy people and characters out of the woodwork. It's the job of a lifetime to me, and to have fun is what it's all about to me. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm miserable, and being back here and this week on the air has really given me a just a kick in the ass, man. I'm just revved, and I'm excited every day to come in and do it every night. The 3 hours just, it whips by so fast. I go home, and I don't even. Can we just talk about something else, John?
Dude, you're a wild man. I was in Atlanta on Captain Ted Turner's CNN tour, dude, and I saw you just jawing away in your booth, and I just ran over there, and I said, screw the tour. This guy's got it going on.
Yeah, we raided. That was like doing my show in a shopping mall, though. I had people sticking their tongues on the glass. I'd have 400 deep for Hawks game standing there an hour before the game throwing beers at me. It got to be a situation, you know. Obviously, I love doing my show live. I did more live shows probably in front of massive crowds and drunken sports bar brawl rooms than any guy in the country. I've done thousands of them. I did my world tour around when I was with SEN, and my days of having people throw bottles at me are over, man. I got sick of the chicken wire and the Blues Brothers routine.
We're laid back here in the Bay Area, but I tell you what, man, Niners going to the bowl this year, baby.
I have no doubt.
After seeing Kevin Smith,
anything can happen.
Up, after seeing Smith get lit up like a pinball machine on Monday night by Herman Moore of the Detroit Lions, dude, Jerry's going over the middle. I tell you what, the Cowboys are doomed, dude. They're playing three games on grass this year, so they're going to get beat at the stick.
They don't seem to have a problem winning in Candlestick Park, if I recall.
Well, they've won one game
two.
Out of the last, like, five games. I don't know, man.
They beat them twice in a row here for the NFC Championship.
Oh, dude.
Two times in a row for the NFC title, correct?
No.
How many times was it? One?
They won one game here, dude. That was the when the Cowboys were just like coming up, and then they finally beat the Niners, and they came out of nowhere. So anyways, we're taking them down at the stick, and then they're going to have to come back and play the championship game here. Who are they facing in the AFC? What a joked conference, but who's going to represent the AFC?
Well, I mean, you know, it has been as far as the Super Bowl outcome, but let's face it. You mean to tell me that on Sundays you're bored watching AFC teams and you refuse to watch it? There's five teams in the AFC that have a legitimate shot to go, and everybody knows it. I think the 4-1 Bills thing's a joke, but they're still there. I put them at 8-1, and then that slew of 6-1s are the Raiders and the Dolphins and the Chiefs and the Steelers. I guess the Chargers may be in that mix too, and maybe a lucky outside shot for the Browns at a wild card, but I doubt it. I mean, the 5-5 are pretty straight up, and I think the NFC is, you know, like everybody knows, Niners, Dallas, and, you know, I'm looking at the Vikings a little bit, and, you know, I think the Lions can get there, and even the Packers if they start playing, but the Packers are in a big problem right now and in a hole, and they don't look strong. Let's go to Burlingame. Gene, you're on the bench.
Hey, Pharrell, what up, man?
What's going on, bro?
Hey, what do you think about the Dolphins this weekend?
I think they lose to the Vikings, but not by much. I think it's going to be interesting because the Vikings looked really, really sharp on the road at Soldier Field, and that was really an embarrassment to Wanstead and the Bears to get blown out like that in the Windy City. Dolphins looked fairly strong, I thought, against the Jets, but still had some problems. What I'm impressed most about is their running game, but now Spikes is out for sure in the game.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll have a running game against the Vikings, who are awesome against the run. I think Marino will have to depend entirely on the pass this weekend. There will be no running for the Finns, and it'll cost them, I say, Vikings by 6.5.
You don't think Kirby and Parmalee can handle it?
No, I don't. Not at all. Not with the Vikings' run defense, and also their turnover ratio is incredible, and their sack numbers are phenomenal.
What about the offense against Miami's defense?
Well, you know, I think the Vikings are going to have some problems moving the football against the Dolphins as well. I think it literally is going to come down to a situation where it's going to be a touchdown, and I think Moon might get it because the Viking defense will set up the chance for Moon to get it. I got to go to Brian in San Jose. You're on a bench.
Da-na-na. Batman sucks, man. What's up with this guy?
I don't know, man. I get so upset thinking about every single sport now going, what's next? The LPGA Tour going on strike? I mean, give me a break. I mean, is this what sports is going to be like when we turn the century and we're going to have to play this game every year? I'm so sick of it, man. I say give them everything they want. Get the money. Somebody's got it. Somebody's rich enough. Give them what they want. I'm sick of rules. Let's just play the games and get it, all of them on TV. And if we can't get enough TV games, then let's switch to total pay-per-view for every household in America and give player, if they want $500 million per game, give it to them. Somebody out there has got the money. And I know it's unrealistic. I know it sounds silly, but what is really silly is what's going on in every single sport now. It is bogus, bargaining table, BS, the crap that it is. Everybody's sick of it, and I know if the Green Hornet was here, he would say, as far as I'm concerned.
But the players want to play, man. The players want to play. I've talked to the Sharks. They want to take the ice.
I know they do. Everybody wants to play. You think Don Mattingly's having fun right now running his restaurant?
Yeah,
and
they walked out. They walked out.
Yeah, well, they didn't go into the season with a CBA, the bargaining agreement, and I think that Bettman's smart enough to realize that why not at least get one before we get involved, because it gets uglier if you split it up like the baseball players
did. They made it last year, all season last year.
And look what it got them. In 92, they started without one, and they walked out then and locked out then, and they've had problems in the camps. It's almost laughable and deplorable that the NHL would even consider doing it, but I think they're trying to imitate the big leagues now and trying to get to that level, and so if everybody else is doing it, what the hell, let's treat our players. The players in the NHL think, hey, we're just as good as the baseball and football players. We want $5 million. Look at some of the guys, how much money they're making. I mean, by 98, these guys will all be making $10 million.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Sonic King in Richmond, you're on the band.
Hey, for real.
What's up?
What's happening?
Nada.
Hey, man, you remember me calling last week?
Yeah.
Sonic King.
Absolutely, you're beautiful.
Hey, I just wanted to talk to you about La Russa, man, on that opening managerial position over in Boston.
Right.
What do you think? You think he's going to hang out with the...
What would you do? If you're Tony La Russa, would you go back to Chicago? Would you watch Shuler fire Gino Lamont? Basically, foolishly, because he's silent type players, manager, a guy that won the division title last year, would have won it this year, I think, would have beaten Cleveland because of their young pitching and great bats and great lineup with Thomas and Franco and Ventura, and all the way down the line, even great gloves with Cora and experience and guy in the arms like Beret, and I just think they would have pulled it out, but La Russa may end up there. I don't see Boston, but, you know, how can I dictate what this guy's career is going to do next? He's definitely a huge name in baseball and a great baseball mind and a great manager, one of the best the game's seen. But, you know, it's a question of how tight is he with Sandy? How tight is he to the Bay? How tight is he to the A's? Does he have an itch to go back to the Windy and see if he can accomplish like they did in 83? With the White Sox, and maybe he wants to just go back there for those fresh old uniforms. Maybe the White Sox will come back with them funky disco dresses they used to wear.
Well, you know, there's no telling too. If somebody else buys the team, you know, there's no guarantee he's going to have a job.
Yeah, well, if somebody
sell it, I mean, it's kind of up in the air because 95 season, nobody knows what's going on.
I agree with that. A lot of moves, like you know, Dal Maxville getting booted, and guys come in and make big moves right away. You knew that Duquette was going to do it in Boston. This guy, you know, don't tell me you can't win with a low payroll with what he accomplished with youth and talent and speed and guys that can pitch, throw strikes, work quickly, change speeds. The Ray Miller School of Pitching, he got a young staff with a couple of veterans like Denny Martinez, and you know, before he slipped away. But Duquette is a builder, and you knew that Hobson wouldn't have lasted. But I don't see Tony going there. If he doesn't, you know, so be it. Good luck. Josh in San Carlos, you're on a bench.
Hey, Froggy, the man.
How can I be the man? You know me?
I like to talk about the Sharks.
Yeah.
How do you think they're going to do this year?
I think they're going to be solid. They better get out of the gates better than 08-1, and I think Constantine's going to want to at least let, I think, Arters work more with Wade on those home-and-homes and give him less punishing work until it gets real serious from January forward. They got to come out of the gates better, and the most important thing is they can't finish 20th in special teams. They got to have power play goals. Let's go to Roner Park cashing in.
Hey, Perel, you're the man.
What's going on, Cash?
I got first place in my fantasy football going on.
You're styling.
Putting the Tro Means and Terry Allen, busting through left and right.
You think Allen's knees will hold?
Oh, yeah, he's in there. Oh, come on, he's got 5.2 yards of carry.
I understand all of that. He's also got two very tender knees.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's worked hard to rehab them, and he thinks they're strong, and he looked at with 159 and two TDs. And that incredible leap from about the 8 last weekend against the Bears. He looks like he's back. I like him over the Dolphins. Without a doubt, I think it's going to be the best game of the weekend. Pleasant Hill and Doug, you're on a bench.
Bro, man, we need you, man. What's up?
What's going on, bro?
Not much, man. Just here hanging out. Want to know what you think about the Warriors. Weber's going to be the man this year.
You know, as Weber gets better and better and stronger and realizes the rules of the front court and how to play it more like an NBA veteran instead of in that first year. What a great first year. But Chris will start working better with guys like Mullen. And if Owens goes, so be it. But with Owens, they're dangerous. And then the development of Rozier and Rodgers in the middle is going to be a fascinating thing for an NBA fan to be able to watch two big guys that are still growing around seven-footers that will bulk. That's what it's all about. Scouts love
that
and everything.
He's just a kid, man. That's what people don't realize. He's just a kid.
Yeah, and Hardaway and Spree, it could be the finest in the NBA.
Another thing going on, man, this weekend, you want broken fibulas, anterior cruciate?
Yeah.
Stenstrom's getting carried off after Brewski drills him. U of A over Stanford. Yeah,
you know, you look at the situation with the football game. Not only is Teddy Brewski going to be in his face, but so will Thomas Demps, their flex guy.
Oh, yeah.
Hoffman's incredible. Sanders in the secondary. Sanders has been known to, he's just almost like a rover back. He's crazy. He'll blitz.
It's scary,
he can,
man. It's scary. I don't know how people are talking about Stanford being able to.
Well, they've played him well in the series.
Too tough.
They played him well in the series and the trend in this thing.
I don't know. Defense is too tough. Hey, well, welcome to the Bay Area, man. Don't worry about it. You're coming from Atlanta. We got Home Depot's up here, too.
Ah, but you don't have moonshine. San Mateo and Billy are on the bench.
Hey, Pharrell, how you doing? You're the man.
What's going on, Bill?
Hey, I'm just wanted to let you know I'm a local surfer, and I wanted to welcome you. I'm glad to have you here.
Hey, did you hear my... Did you hear my surf update from Huntington with Walt and the Beaner, the surf gurus?
No, I sure did.
Oh, those will be on nightly. You'll want to catch up with that because
actually,
we'll
be in Huntington Beach next Wednesday. I'm staying there for a few nights.
We got nightly surf updates. We have as well water temp checks, high tide, low tide, conditions, sea lice, and dental floss.
Man, please, excellent.
Yeah, we got it all covered, and you know, we got action on the beaches, too. Is the Bean Man covers the ladies working the beach, and then the Walt Man covers the suds.
Oh, I can dig it.
I got some funny stuff I'm looking for in my Golf Digest that's beautiful. The worst, here it is, the things I don't want to hear on the golf course. You wanted to talk golf, right,
that's
Bill?
It. That's it. You got it.
All right, now, this is when you get mad at the guy you're playing with that you hate anyway and you want to beat his ass. Here's the ones that you hate when the guy you hate the most you're playing with and you always want to beat his ass and take his money, you hate when he says these things. I'd rather be lucky than good. Knock it in, pal. The green opens up from over there. I'd rather have your chip than my putt. That one's not going to hurt you.
Oh,
it's not the. It's not that bad in there, really. You'll be all right. No, sir, you don't want to be to the left on this hole. Decided to bring out the old A game, huh? Heck, if I couldn't putt, I couldn't play. And a couple more. Oh, no, yes, yes, go, baby, go. And then I pushed it. Little bit to the right. Look at that. My
Sometimes
favorite
they
thing.
Just have them pass me the chalk.
You know, obviously, Bill, you know Pharrell's rules of drink ball, don't you?
Well, no, you know, that's the whole deal. We're going out tomorrow.
Try these. And, try these on for size.
Need to end an evening here with I need to catch up the update on these rules right here.
Here it is. So you ready?
Yeah,
here they are.
Ready for
okay.
The rules.
Unlimited mulligans, unlimited use of tees, no out of bounds. Anything within 10 feet of the hole is a gimme. You finish a case by the 18th tee prior to stepping on the tee, 10 wiped off the car to the end. See in the 19th hole, chugging cold ones with steaks, onions, and mustard on the side, base out. Wonder Wart is out there to hog freaks. There, you know, like,
yeah, Pharrell, glad you're here.
What's up?
When you filled in, I voted for you.
Thanks, bro.
Want to hear about Steve Young. He's one of the best five quarterbacks in the league.
Yep.
Never won a big game. He gets nervous in the service. Want to hear your opinion on him.
All right, and first of all, I do appreciate, literally, I feel that a lot of the backbone of my chances here were the fans, since a lot of people knew me out of Vegas and the late night overnight freaks helped me, and certainly when I got lucky enough to fill in for Pete.
The first time I heard you and I called and said, get him on.
Well, the Bay really backed me up, a lot of people. I mean, I know that there's a lot of people out there that wish I was dead, and that's a wonderful thing to think on. Steve Young's situation, obviously. My only question about him, you know, to make it simple, is this. You know, when is he going to win the big game? When is he going to get into that playoff game and not, you know, and I do not blame things on the quarterback necessarily ever. I look at the whole situation. Who's on the line? Is it patchwork? Have they been gelling? Have they been healthy? What's going on with the running game? Who are you up against? Who are you matching up with? Who are the role players that you're going up against? Who's stuffing the run? Are there holes to run through? Is the short passing game working? Are the wideouts getting the extra two steps they need? Is the special teams clicking? And is the defense doing the job for you? And, you know, are you playing at home, road, weather, all the factors, trends? But Steve Young, in the big game, in the biggest of games, where has he been?
Yeah. Hey, good answer, man.
I don't have any rings on his finger. I mean, how many does he got involved in all of that? Did he cop a few of them out of it? But I've never seen him as the man.
Good answer. I'm glad
he's never been the man. Everybody knows who the man was, but he is now, and I think he's a fabulous quarterback. He excites the hell out of me. This city is very, very fortunate to have him. Tampa is still, Hugh Cobra tossing still 6 feet under, thinking about that he ever got rid of this guy, because that's when their franchise decided that they were going to be mediocre forever when they got rid of him and decided that they could, you know, every year we'll draft a rookie and let him start. That doesn't fly. Young should still be there. He's here, and he's brought this town, I think, you know, the offense that all others want to resemble.
Thanks.
All right. San Bruno, J-Man, you're on the bench.
Around.
What's going on, bro?
How you doing?
All right, man. I'm gonna dance with you,
and then
we're gonna fill up our beers, and then we're gonna rip fast forward. I know you're ready for that.
You
like fast forward? Yeah. What?
I had my cat for rip.
That's beautiful.
I did. Really? I'm serious.
I swear to God, I got a horse in Detroit. Some guy named after me. Pharrell in your face.
Cool.
My dog is Poop. Your cat is Pharrell.
Pharrell.
I know.
Zipper. Now it's Pharrell.
Some lady had quadruplets down in Atlanta, named all four of them Pharrell.
You know, I told the guy I wanted to talk about this strike.
Yeah.
You know, this baseball strike.
You lied.
Well, no, I didn't. You know, because I got to admit, compared to you, I know nothing about sports compared to you guys.
Okay. You know,
I
don't think.
I became a serious sports fan, I would say, about 4 years ago.
Right.
And that's it.
Well, I'll tell you this much. You know, I've always been a firm believer in this. Everybody and their brother that's in this business that I've met all the way down the line, I understand who I am and my role, but I'll tell you this. Every single guy I've ever been around in this business thinks he's an expert, and I certainly don't. I know that I watch sports just like everybody else. I watch it the way I see it. I go ballistic. I like fast speed, pain, hits, checks, goals, touchdowns, spikes, dunks, lands with a look. I know what I'm talking about. When I do dance, I know that I'm in the ballpark. I got the skinny. I tell it like it is. I don't cut corners. I don't BS. People like to hear what they hear. And all these guys that are so brilliant and know everything, I say screw them and send them to the end of the line, because every sports fan I've ever met, whether it's in a sports bar, whether it's watching a game, whether it's in Vegas, whether it's in Florida, whether it's in Pittsburgh, whether every guy thinks he knows more than the next guy. Every guy, whether it's the fan or the talk radio guy or the TV guy or the coach, everybody thinks they're an expert. And the bottom line is that I do this for the passion of raging and reaction between me and you dancing over a couple of cold brews and raging about sports, lines, over-unders, big stories, the reader of the week, like the story I did on the 10 reasons baseball got crushed. I could have done 61. That was my reader of the day. Having fun, speed, metal, sports talk, raging, spitting, kicking, throwing, yelling, fighting, haymaker, 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 haymaker. Well, Live, I love you, Mike Lang. In your face, San Fran. We're dancing. Fast forward.
Just want to get out. My head explodes. Ears ring. I can't remember just where I've been. The little thing.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Oh, yeah. I am just absolutely shredding to Metallica. Anyway, so they said to me, Pharrell, you got to talk about Dead City by the Bay in the Bay. City by the Bay in the Bay with the Warriors who saw them come out to play in the Bay in the Bay. So they said, yo, talk about San Francisco. So I was like, all right, I can do that. Here's how it all started. I was working in Atlanta, right, at CNN.
and there was nothing bad going on. Everything was cool. I was on top of the world. I was number one in Atlanta in the ratings 3 to 7 p.m. I had a huge audience, huge following. Probably the most successful show I ever did in terms of getting big and, you know, moving up the food chain, as they like to say. And everything was kosher city. I was all Gandhi and everything. And then all of a sudden, one day, my house in Farrellisaw got leveled, literally destroyed by a tornado, the Dallas Pike tornado. And it was in 1993. And I was like, you know what? I was in my house. Tornado hits. I end up in a mud field, you know, 1 in the morning. Can't see, no lights, no power, house destroyed. 50 million trees down, no communication with the world whatsoever, no phones working, no anything. And I was like, this sucks. This is miserable. I hate this. I don't want any part of this. I'm sweating ass. I'm like homeless now. And I'm like, out of here. I'm just not interested in this. So I had been there for a year. I had been doing great, doing terrific, and then house gets destroyed. So I literally freaked out, and I went to my boss, and I said, I have an offer to go to San Francisco and work at KNBR, which I did have. I had the people at KNBR in the city after me. They had been calling me and bottom line telling me, you know, how good I was at what I was doing and how I'd gotten huge ratings and that they were looking for somebody like me, and they were willing to pay me a lot of money. So it really boiled down to going from market 10 to market 4 and making a lot more money. And, you know, I had at that point, you know, I'd been to California a million times. I had been to San Francisco. I had been to, you know, Southern California. I'd been to Rancho Bernardo. I'd been to San Diego. I'd been there as a kid, but I'd never lived there. And I always liked it there. And I was like, I want to live in California. I'm going to move to San Francisco. So I told my boss I was leaving. He's like, don't leave. Don't leave. I'm like, listen, bro, I got to do it. Wouldn't you? I mean, look at this offer. He said he'd match the offer to stay. And I just said, you know what? I want to try something new. And I ended up taking the gig. So I moved to San Francisco. I'll never forget when I first got there, they put me up in the Mandarin in downtown San Francisco. And the Mandarin's a 5-star hotel. So I was literally living in a 5-star hotel for like a month in a giant suite. It was unbelievable. And then they got me a just badass corporate apartment in San Francisco, like right next to Crooked Street, Lombard Street, whatever it is. I ended up living a block from there on the top of a hill, Chestnut and Hyde. I was literally overlooking Fisherman's Wharf. It was crazy. I mean, I remember being in that building when earthquakes hit and the building would roll left to right and freak you out. You'd be tripping. All of a sudden, you'd look out the window and you'd see buildings moving left and right. It was insanity. But I lived there. I lived up in the air. It was scary. It was crazy. It was fun. It was wild. It was expensive. It was just a crazy time for me. I went on KNBR at night. They put me on at 10 to 1 late at night. And so, allegedly, you know, 10 to 1, you don't matter, right? Because all that matters is morning and afternoon drive. And they had all these stars there working. Pete Franklin. They had Gary Radnich. I mean, he was a star. Bottom line, they had the Warriors. And this was when Run TMC was there. Hardaway, Richmond, Mullen. It was a crazy time. And then they had the Giants. And guess who was there for the Giants? Of course, Barry Bonds, in his first year with San Francisco. So they carry the Giants and Warriors, and it's just a gigantic station. One of the biggest in the country. And at the time, it was even bigger than it is now. Back then, it was the deal. And then now they got, you know, competition right in town with other stations that have, you know, come into the marketplace all these years later. But back then, it was the only station that mattered. And it was like KGO and KNBR. That was it. And they put me on late at night, and everybody's like, who's this loudmouth? Who's this crazy dude screaming, yelling, playing heavy metal music? What is going on here? This guy's insane. He's lost his mind. He's out of control. He's on drugs. He's drunk. He's this, he's that. And really what it was that I was taking over San Francisco. So what happened was they all talked about me all day, and they all spent their entire shows talking bad about me while I took all of San Francisco and Northern California by the balls and squeezed. And believe me, you, I made some grapefruit juice. I took over the market. I took over Northern California. I took over San Francisco. I took over the ratings. I was number one in the Bay in one book. I was there for 1 year, and I was number one the entire year. Four straight books, four straight number ones, badass style. It got so huge, the show, that here came the TV people knocking. Sports Channel America came to my door and said, we want to simulcast your radio show across America on TV at night, late night, in every major market in the country. I mean, it was crazy. LA, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, Philly, Miami, Atlanta. It was absolutely off the chains. I mean, I literally didn't know what to do. They gave me all kinds of cash to do it. It was a blast. I remember when I got the gig, they said, what do you want to do? I said, I need to have like a really cool set. How do you want to do the set? I said, I want to put millions of jerseys and hats and basketball hoops and hockey nets and hockey sticks and balls and, you know, tennis rackets. I want it all on there. So they took me to a sports store and I bought like half the store. It was cool. Then they took me to a jersey store and they bought me like 100 jerseys. Then we put it all in the studio and the show took off. I remember filming the open to the show. We went to the Hood in the Bay down in the city, and it was crazy. I started filming me, you know, back then I could dunk. And I was young, so imagine 1994. So I'm flying down the paint, throwing down a tomahawk dunk on the open of the TV show. They also got me in a Notre Dame helmet, smashing my head with a baseball bat. I mean, I behaved like an animal on this show. And both shows were unbelievably successful. I had the phones packed on the radio side and the TV side. You couldn't even get on the show if you tried. Ratings through the roof on both radio and TV. We got so violent and so crazy doing the show that literally we broke everything at the radio station. We put holes in walls. We broke windows. We broke everything. I remember one night we peed off the roof and it was raining outside. And underneath the building, they had a bar, a real popular bar that everybody went to late night. And we were like peeing off the roof in the rain on people standing in line. And they had no idea that it was happening. That's how stupid we were and poorly behaved we were. So eventually KNBR kicked us out of the radio studio and we had to move to do the TV show. So what we did was we changed it by an hour and I would do like 10 to 1 or something. And then I went over and I did like 1:30 to 2:30, which was, I guess, I don't even remember. All I know is I did this extra hour of TV every night and we filmed it over at the TV studio. It was crazy. And it was absolutely a blast. I remember I had so much fun. It was pretty cool back then seeing like my, you know, at the time my family got to see me doing TV and my parents got to see me doing TV and, you know, my mom was, I think, still around and, you know, barely. And then, you know, it was insane. All I remember, I had great producers. I remember when I went to KNBR, they gave me DC Cab, Darren Chan, phenomenal producer, Brett Abbott. They were all best friends. I ended up hiring Max Krasny. I met him at a bar over by Ghirardelli Square. He was pouring tequila for me in like a Mexican joint. And he just freaked when I walked in there that I was the guy on the radio. And he loved the station, grew up in San Francisco. And he thought I was crazy and all the rest. And he's like, let me do the show. I want to be your DJ. So I gave him the job and he was fantastic with the music. And the rest is history. They stayed with me for that year in San Francisco. Then all of them moved with me to Los Angeles, and we did the show at Westwood One. And Mel Karmazin hired me to do CBS Infinity Westwood One, a national Pharrell and a Bench show on WFAN New York and 250 radio stations across America with all the Howard Stern stations. We did it at Westwood in Culver, and we were insane. We added Anderson to the show, Anderson Cowan, and we just had a great crew, just a great show, great times. I loved working in San Francisco. It was a blast. It was fun. It was fast. It went by too quick. And then I moved to LA and got enormous with the radio show in syndication. So I ended up stopping doing the Sports Channel show, but I ended up, you know, just doing the radio show. You know, the first syndicated sports talk radio show ever is what it was. And it was all pretty cool, and it all because I ended up in San Francisco and got so huge so fast that Karmazin came out to San Francisco and hired me. I remember he took me to the Ritz-Carlton in San Francisco and offered me a gigantic deal to do Pharrell and a Bench nationally. And that was it. I mean, he's the guy that, you know, made Howard Stern, and he's the guy that made me. And I'm just glad I got to work for him. And then I worked for him all those years later with Howard at Sirius, and Mel was the CEO. And I just have had magnificent people around me most of my career. And it all really, I think part of it was because I ended up taking that job in San Francisco and getting so huge. So I'll always have a special place in my heart for the city, bada bang. So there you go, a taste of San Fran City. And I got to hang out with Metallica, remember? And they let me do Acoustica at San Jose, KSJO. All that happened as well because I was so popular on KNBR, and Metallica is from Sausalito, and they all live in San Francisco and Marin County. So they listened to me on KNBR, and that's how I got noticed by Metallica. So a lot of great things happened to me because I worked in San Francisco. Kick-ass city. I'll always love it. Check out it.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.